Heavenly Father, this morning, let our hearts be open to what the Spirit says to the church. Allow your word to fall on fertile soil, Amen. That the truth Amen. Will set your people free.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Passage this morning is John chapter 6, verses 48 to 66, which says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this, he said to them, Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus offends. Now, some people in church try to be as inoffensive as possible to everyone. In our everyday lives, we try to be inconspicuous or not draw attention as much as possible when it comes to putting on a display of faith. Other people are the opposite, and they tend not to care if they antagonize other people who are outside the church, often by quoting scripture or telling them how rotten of a sinner they are. But sinners know that they're sinners, but we can't beat them over the head. Now, this we need to understand. The cross is a rock of offense and a stumbling stone over which many people will fall. It is our duty then to be offensively inoffensive when presenting the truth of God so that Jesus Christ is lifted up and not our particular political beliefs.
Amen.
Jesus had a way though of offending everyone who did not believe in him. Even today, if you speak about Jesus, in a way outside of what people have put in their little Jesus box. Like saying that he was a great moral teacher or a great philosopher. You're treading on shaky ground. You see, it's not that people who are outside the church are offended by talking about Jesus, the teacher. They're offended about hearing about Jesus, the God-man. They aren't offended about hearing about Jesus, the historical Christ. They don't want to hear about the risen Christ. It's because of pride that people today, even as they were people in Jesus' day, don't want to hear the truth. They, like us, have themselves at the center of their universe, not the God that they give lip service to. They were interested in Jesus' day to follow him because they were getting their physical needs met, their physical desires. So they wanted to follow him so that they could get all the food that they wanted whenever they wanted. But Jesus threw cold water in their faces by not offering them what they wanted, but offering them what they needed. Verses 48 to 51. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now we're beginning here with one of Jesus' hard sayings. They're called hard sayings because they can be hard to wrap your head around. You see, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Number one, when he says, I am, it's not for nothing that he says, I am. Because in the Hebrew, I am is the name that no Hebrew would ever speak. The name of Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because when he introduced himself to Moses, and Moses said, well, you are the God of our fathers. Who shall I say sent me? Tell them I am sent you. The self-existent one, the one who is and was and is to come, the one that has no beginning and no ending. But if you think about the term I am, it is always present tense. So there is no past and there is no future. There is just now. So he transcends time and eternity. But most people don't think about the present or the past because their physical appetites are controlled and ruling their lives. You see, most people never learn to control their physical appetites, and that's how they lose out on the kingdom. Because people would rather be self-ruled than God-ruled. But then Jesus repeats that he is the bread that came down from heaven. Now, anytime you have something in Hebrew literature that is repeated, it's there because it's being given emphasis. And we know that Jesus was a Hebrew of all Hebrews. So he knew that if he kept repeating this, it would get emphasis. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. If you eat me, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall have eternal life. This was the most shocking thing for Jewish people to hear. Because in the law, you're not supposed to even cook with blood. You're supposed to drain the animal of all the blood and then cook it. And there was no way you were supposed to have any sort of doings with blood. So people were taking him literally when he was speaking to them spiritually, because you take in food and you remember back in biology class, you are what you eat. You become that which you ingest, and it becomes part of you. So Jesus is trying to teach them a principle of spiritual life that they wanted no part of because it was disgusting to them. They couldn't get past the saying to get to the spiritual depth. It was causing them a scandal. In verses 33, 35, and 38, he says that I am the bread of life. And they take offense and grumble at it. Then in verse 51, he blows this up even more where he says, I am the bread of life and you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Why did they take offense at this so much? Just like today, people in Jesus' time cannot comprehend anything that is outside of their personal experience. When the Word of God conflicts with our preconceived notions of what is right, what is good, or what is even moral, we humans tend to go with what's inside of us rather than what's coming to us from the outside. The Word of God is external to people because it's foreign to man. We don't want to hear what God has to say because we have our own spiritual compass. We don't want anybody to tell us what's right or what's wrong or what we should do outside of our own comfort zone. Not even God. David F. Wells, professor at Gordon Conwell Seminary and a Congregationalist minister, said in his book, The Courage to be Protestant, says this about sin. Sin is all about taking issue with God, defying him, refusing to submit to him, and displacing him from the center of existence. We are now disaffected with his rule, resent his claims on our life, are hostile to his truth in the biblical word, and are determined to pursue our own values, goals, and pleasures in defiance of what he has said. When we freed ourselves in these ways, beginning with the fall, we fell headlong into a dark captivity, both to our own selves and beyond that, to the powers of darkness. In other words, when we looked inwardly and followed our own desires, we didn't realize how much deeply the fall affected us. And we became subservient to the powers of darkness rather than light. It's not merely because what Jesus was saying that they were murmuring. It was because they, like us, were in open rebellion to God. Sin's effect on us clouds our thinking, makes us slaves, and kills our desire to please God. Because we are constantly in conflict with God, we cannot desire to do what pleases him until the Father draws us to allow us to believe by using the Spirit to woo us. And until that occurs in the lives of people, social reform and personal improvement plans will fall short of expectation, because only God can change the heart.
Amen.
Verses 52 to 59. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. People are stirred up even more when he gives more and more detail about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. "This is disgusting, man. Why are you talking like this? I can't wrap my head around it." They're taking what Jesus is saying literally, thinking that he is talking about cannibalism, and they cannot see beyond their own noses. But what occurs when those who are more interested in material things become entangled in the things of the Spirit is they get lost. They can't see it. Paul said it well in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 24. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For as it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, Paul, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, knew that the Jews were always looking for a sign. You know, in the verses we studied last week, "Can you make the bread again? Can you feed us again? Can you do that? Well, can you show us how we can do what you were doing? I want to have food all the time, man. Just let me snap my fingers and have some fish sandwiches ready." And that's what it was. He made fish sandwiches for everybody. But Jesus gave them the sign to point to what the reality of the salvation truly was. But he's also giving people the indication of what the reaction will be to his death by most people. Most people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most people ignore their need for salvation. We know that Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." The Christian walk is not an easy walk. Because there is a cost to it. It can cost you members of your family. It can cost you friendships. It can cost you your career. But counting the cost makes it all worthwhile, because then you may suffer physical distress or upset or emotional problems while you're here. But in that great getting up morning,
amen,
when it will all be made right, amen, Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Modern people today are messed up in their minds because they've lost their way. They have no sense of direction. They have no moral compass, because they are led to believe that they are their own source of morality, their own source of intelligence, their own source of power to overcome whatever issues they have. But the issues they have are because of the fall. And their foolish hearts were darkened. They don't understand where they stand. Have you ever seen a compass when there's a magnet around? If you have a magnet that's strong and you go near it with a compass, the compass doesn't know which way to go. People today are like people walking around with a compass in their hand with a magnet underneath it. They don't know which way to go. They don't know which way to turn. So when Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go by it, he was not only speaking of people in his time, but people for all time. See, we're on the verge of massive destruction and hysteria because we are so dependent on technology. Most people wouldn't be able to survive for 3 days without cars, television, internet, and electricity. Think about this. If the electrical grid was to be compromised, we would go back to life as it was in the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages. And there would be anarchy and mass panic. And now we know that Russia has found a way to actually produce fake news, real fake news, that people on both the left and the right have been ingesting to go against one another, telling everyone what they wanted to believe about their opponents, and we have eaten it up like it's candy. Yet and still, people refuse to listen to the word of God and follow Christ. As Jesus said, your fathers ate the manna and they died. He who eats this bread will live forever. So the internet, as great a tool as it is, gives you what you want to hear instead of giving you the words of life. Check out the real news, the good news. Verses 60 to 66. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this. He said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? This is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who would not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." These verses comprise what many have called Jesus' church shrinkage seminar. You've heard of church growth seminars. This was Jesus doing his church shrinkage seminar. You tell the truth and watch the people leave. Instead of telling them what they want to hear to gather a large gathering, you tell them the truth and allow God to sort it out. It's often said that success is a matter of the right technique, the right set of circumstances, and the right advertising. Well, that depends on your measure of success. Mm-hmm. When Candy and Rick were young, we used to quote to them a saying by Booker T. Washington on the measure of success. The wise educator said the measure of success is to be measured not so much by the level of success one has achieved, but by the obstacles one has overcome while trying to succeed. I wholeheartedly agree with the esteemed educator. Because, as Jesus said, narrow is the door and difficult the way that leads to life, and few there are that go by it. See, we have been victims of our own technological success. We want everything to be easy. In the Broadway show, The Wiz, there was a character called Eveline. And in The Wiz, she sings this song, "Don't Nobody Bring Me No Bad News." Don't bring me no bad news. But Jesus brings bad news all the time because people don't realize how bad off they've got it. The mere accomplishment of success is not a measure of success. Success is measured by God's standard, not ours. People said this was a hard saying. Who can eat his flesh and drink his blood? Why would we do something like that? Again, they're stuck on the obvious rather than looking for the deeper meaning that he had been giving them signs of what he was talking about the entire time. Your forefathers ate the manna in wilderness and they died because they were stressing on the physical side. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he will live forever. Now, understand, he was talking to disciples. So they had been listening to Jesus for some time. But they couldn't handle the truth of what he was saying. So these are the ones that in the parable of the soils, if some fell on hard soil, some fell on stony soil, and some fell on fertile soil. These are the stony and the hard soil people that the seed never took root. And they went away mad. And 1 John tells us they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would have continued with us. Jesus goes so far as to say, do you need me to go back to heaven to show you that I am who I say I am? It's the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life. He tells them that he's speaking in spiritual terms and they're still looking at the physical. But some of you, there are some of you who do not believe because he knew from the beginning who would follow him and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me grants it. If you follow Jesus, you are his true follower. You're not a sometime follower. You're not a one day a week follower. You're sold out.
Amen.
For Jesus.
Amen.
The elect of God.
Thank you, Lord.
You are his. Understand that he folds you into his arms and holds on to you. And he wants you for his own.
Amen. Yes.
Don't allow anyone to tell you that you are not good enough to follow Jesus, that you're not righteous enough, because it's not based on your righteousness, but his.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say, do this and you shall live. He said, eat this. Allow it to become a part of you. Don't just pretend for someone else's benefit. But take it in, digest it, allow it to become a part of your very being, the very fiber of your life.
Amen. Yes.
Right.
And it will never go away. Jesus knows those who are his. Jesus knows those whose professions are true and those who are not. Jesus knows the heart of every person here in this room and around the world. So I tell you, the flesh profits nothing, but the spirit gives life. If you have not followed Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not sure if you know Jesus, I tell you like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve.
Yes.
If it be the Baals, the Baals, the gods outside, your own wicked desires, then follow that. But if it be the Lord, follow the Lord.
Amen.
But choose you this day whom you will serve.